This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. 98.7 ESPN.
2 o'clock in the big city. Don and Peter with you on the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Oh, no, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don and Peter, we're Kayla's today, Peter.
Oh, I'm aware.
But you, still, tremendous. We got to get to it at some point today. We got to dive right in. But
sure.
The little bacchanal that you guys had on Saturday afternoon.
I don't know if that's the word choice. But
well,
yeah, sure.
I only say that because I just don't know why Michael thinks it's a great idea to take pictures with other people's girlfriends.
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo.
Now, you took the picture and you originally tweeted out, but he owned it. I don't know. It didn't sit well with me. But it's not for me to say. It's for you to say. It's for her to say.
It was appropriate at the time. I thought it would be a funny thing to do.
Yes, considering everything we've talked about, but, you know.
Now, is he a little unaware at times? Sure.
Oh, sure. And would that have been one of the times? Maybe.
Maybe. But we did have a lovely time. And the meeting of the dogs happened. Bear was chasing Butter and barking. Butter was... We have a Don. There's a drop that for Butter that you have.
Okay.
Trying too hard, bro.
Oh no.
Yeah, Butter.
Trying too hard, bro.
Butter was not willing to let go of the relationship, and Butter continued to try, and Bear continued to bark.
Oh no.
But I will say, at some point, it seemed like Bear was fully enjoying this game, because like Butter would be like 20 feet away, and Bear would still run after her barking. So I think he was sort of – I think Bear was not scared. He was enjoying kind of flexing his old man muscles at the pup. I think he was enjoying it. And then one thing you'd really like that must really make Michael happy is – he mentioned this on the air. Butter just swims for fun. Like he's Katie Ledecky.
Right.
He just – I've never – I haven't been around a lot of golden retrievers in pools. Actually, probably never have in my life. So I don't know this experience. Butter just hops in the pool, does a lap, and jumps out on the other side over and over again. And then when she's finally dry, does it again.
Okay.
And then repeatedly walks by the humans, rubbing her entirely soaking body against your legs. Followed by, and I wish I'd got one of these pictures, the obligatory dog shake, where I saw Michael just get splattered with water and get incredibly angry over and over again. It was tremendous.
My goodness.
He's not a fan of the dog, believe me.
I know. I was.
believe me. He's just a good man trying to make his family happy.
He's doing the best he can. He's doing the best he can.
Bored. All right. So we'll get more into that maybe a little bit later on, because it was a lot of fun and it was a short period of time, right? You didn't stay after Michael left, did you?
No, but he stayed late for us. And by the way, I'm going to hear this tomorrow. I was late for Michael's house.
How late?
I had originally suggested 10:30. He made it 11. I texted at 10:30. And was like, hey, running a bit late, more like 11:15, 11:20. And then I got there at 11:30.
Aggravated?
The first minute, I walked in and I was like, guys, I'm so sorry for running late. That's my fault. I'm sorry. And Michael said something like, let me put it this way. Do you think that Michael went, dude, don't worry about it?
No.
He did not do that.
No.
Like, let me just put it this way. I don't have one other friend in the world where I would have been as stressed as I was about being what I knew would end up amounting to about a half hour late for a midday visit. You know, like
go away.
If someone's having you over for dinner, Don, Like, it's a 7 dinner, and you show up at 7:30, and you don't really give that full, like, warning. I think that's kind of, like...
Well, it's a problem. I mean, the food's being served. Everything has to be timed out. There was no timing out
but
with this.
A midday, we're hanging by the pool. I shouldn't have been stressed. And Don, I was flying down back roads, worried about it. And when I got there and I said, hey, I'm really sorry, he was like, well, you're you. I think that's what he said. I think the direct quote was...
Yeah, he's got a lady guilt trip
on you. Oh, yeah. The direct quote was, you're you.
Zero. Most logical people actually like the extra time because they might be just cleaning up or just have that extra moment.
I kind of want to tell you, like, do you think, am I talking out of school with Michael not here? I know the answer to this, but just to be clear, I'm not talking out of school to tell you what was served, right?
Right.
Am I?
No, I don't think so.
Andrew?
No, I don't think so.
That wouldn't be talking out of school to be like, here's what they served, right?
No.
So just to be clear about the kind of tax bracket we're talking about when we're talking about the K family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They had bagels. They had like a lox cream cheese spread, which probably made Michael sick to even see. They had prosciutto. They had tomato and mozzarella.
Wow.
Wait, I'm not done. And lobster roll sandwiches.
For just a quick stopover.
For a little?
It is unbelievable.
Is that not, Andrew, are you not floored by lobster roll?
This is, so how, I was under the impression that this was kind of an informal,
right,
you're on your way back, you're going to say, hey, haven't seen the Caster in a year and a half, want to say
yeah.
Hi. I didn't realize that this was such a thing.
Well, you guys heard it unfold. You guys heard.
No, I know.
That's what it was. It was, oh no, we'll come by. Because originally, here's what I think happened. After I joked about staying there and Michael jokingly shot me down, I think then Jody made him feel bad. So then he was like, hey, you know, he hit me on the side and said, you know, you really can stay with me if you want. I said, no, it's quite all right. I have a hotel. I'm good. And then he goes, follows up with, well, hey, why don't you come by? And at that point, I take that as a serious invitation that, you know, we definitely should, right? We should,
right.
We're not going to be far away. We should stop by. But I certainly, if you'd asked me to pick what was going to be there, a delicious lobster roll sandwich with potato chips, in addition to bagels with cream cheese, in addition to prosciutto and tomato mozzarella, that's not what I would have expected.
Well,
that's what we're
what
talking
happens
about.
When you go to the K House.
Just
every
know.
Every day is like a wedding. It's got to be a cocktail party.
I
wasn't a full wedding
that.
Like we had for his barbecue a couple of years ago. This was like a nice cocktail party.
Right, right. And that was a wedding.
And you going home.
Right, that was a wedding. This was a cocktail party. It was nice, though. We had a great time. It was great to see the Caster.
Yeah, I still can't wait to see him. I got to wait till August 20th before I'll finally get a chance to do that. But we got a lot to get into, a lot of football today we're going to do with the Rodgers and the Watson stuff. Mets take 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays, which was pretty solid. And this myth, or at least Alonso's making it into a myth, that when you participate in the Home Run Derby, you're supposed to have an awful second half. Well, he has really helped the Mets get the job done against a pretty good Toronto team. But you know where we're starting. You know. You've been waiting all day for it. The Pinch Drive Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. You know, for the second consecutive week, Peter's got to take a bow. And he got abused. Now, it's not as dead on and crazy pushback that he got for his buck pick. But it still was dead on in the sense that, you know, the Yankees are running in place. They lose 3 out of 4 at Fenway. And, you know, you were a little strong with the prediction, Peter, but you kind of felt like, why should we think anything different than what's happened over the previous 90 games this year? Every time we think this team has turned the corner, they don't. And the reason they don't is because they can't. And no better indication in a microcosm than the unbelievable, thrilling, unexpected win on Saturday, where they were dead in the water, down 3-0, and in the blink of an eye, they win. The exact same thing happens to them the next day. They gain nothing out of it. Oh, but they make you think, Peter, as Herman's dealing 7 no-hit innings, you're thinking, oh my God, he's going to pitch a no-hitter. Couple that with the win on Saturday, and the Yankees take 3 out of 4, and now they've turned the corner. No. In about 5 minutes, it all went up in smoke. So, Peter, you were right. They get handed all these games, end up being 7 of 8 because the one game was rained out. and didn't take advantage of it. And we should not be surprised.
I believe the record, when we had this initial conversation, I believe the Yankees were four games above 500, and
right.
The Red Sox were 19, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Currently, the Red Sox are 22 above 500.
Right.
And the Yankees are four.
Still
so,
four.
So we know what these teams are. The Red Sox are a team that's 20 games over 500, and the Yankees are a team that hovers around four.
Now, the question then becomes why? Now, we're going to open up the phones early at 1-800-919-3776, early and often, as we like to say on the K-Show, because everybody's killing Boone. And it gets tiresome, but you know what? It doesn't make it less accurate. Now, I think some of the criticism is folly. Oh, you got to get Loaisiga out of there. After he gave him the three straight, you got to get him out of there. You got to bring Britton in. Well, Britton's got to warm up, okay? So let's not get that kooky. My criticism is, why are you taking Herman out? Peter, why are these teams so hot to get quality pitchers off the mound? And with the Herman thing, I don't know if you were watching. You know, I'm watching, monitoring this whole no-hitter. And they had guys up almost, it felt like the entire day. Like, the second he was going to give up a pitch, they were going to take him out. And you've got a bullpen that you rely on night after night after night. Granted, Loaisiga just came off a protocol, but he pitched the night before. You've used Zach Britton. You used Chapman the day before. You know, you've gone to your bullpen over and over and over again. He gives up the double to break up the no-hitter to start the eighth, Peter. Bang. Out. Why? It's 4-0. Isn't he allowed to face the challenge to go out there and try to get out of the jam? And then if he gives up a base hit, now it's 4-1, you want to take him out, fine. The guy was dealing. He gives up a double that I almost thought could have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's automatically at 93 pitches. Dealing. Red Sox didn't have a clue. 10 strikeouts. So, Peter, forget about why he went so long with Loaisiga or why this and why that once he's in the bullpen. But my question is, why did he go to the bullpen in the first place? And the biggest win this team has had outside of Saturday recently was the Cole victory. What did he do there, Peter? He let Cole finish it. Stayed out of the bullpen. And the Yankees didn't blow the lead, and they got a big win. And remember, he had to get talked out of that. He was hot to take Cole out. And Cole talked himself to stay in there and finish it up. So why can't you let him at least try to work through trouble? You got to take him out immediately? And then you go to the bullpen, and all hell breaks loose. Now, you can't blame Boone. Loaisiga has been good. Yeah, Loaisiga has been good. But you know what? He wasn't good today.
And he didn't have to be there.
And then up in smoke, bang, 4-0 becomes 5-4. You lose the game. Tough loss after tough loss after tough loss. You could tell me this is the worst loss they've had all year. There's a couple who want to say, wait, hold my beer. How about the 7-2 loss before the All-Star break when you blew that one? Or what about earlier in the series when you blew the 3-1 lead? Why are you so hot to go to this bullpen when some of the most colossal losses the Yankees have had in a decade have happened in the last 2 weeks?
You finally have
a starting pitcher that's dealing. Peter, let him deal.
Drives me crazy. That drives me crazy, Don. If he's getting hit hard, batter after batter, let's say like leading up to the double, the last three batters had really been drilling him. They'd happened to get lucky. Okay. But if a guy's still playing well, Don, it's your point. Why are you so eager to get to a bullpen that's not special?
At least not this year. I know it's supposed to be. And this is the arrogance of the Yankees, Peter. The bullpen is supposed to be special. But maybe you got to reevaluate that. Maybe it's not as special as you think. And you've got a pitcher, whether he's supposed to be or not, is absolutely dealing. Dealing. And you're looking for a relooking. Somebody actually said it on Twitter. I don't believe it, but I guess it's something to consider. After it happened, it was almost like the Yankees were hoping he'd give up a hit. They were just itching to take him out. They didn't want to have to go through the pain and aggravation of having to maybe possibly have to pull him out when he's still dealing a no-hitter. But Peter's right. It wasn't like he was in any kind of trouble. You give him some insurance in the top half of the eighth inning, and all he did in the bottom half of the seventh, Peter, you know what he did in the bottom half of the seventh inning? He struck out four batters. That's right, four. Because one of them reached on a wild pitch. He struck out four batters in the seventh, including Bogarts and Devers and Martinez, three of their best hitters. Struck them out. Bing, bang, boom.
And the next inning had to be pulled.
Next inning, got it. No, the eighth inning, after he strikes out four batters
right
in the bottom half of the seventh inning, Verdugo doubles. All right, get him out. Get him out. So I don't know what it is. Whatever the answer is, I don't want to get into this whole conversation about analytics again, but let's really get down to it, okay? It's either having no feel or completely married to the analytics, whatever it is. But why? Let me ask you this, Peter. If it's all about the analytics and Boone has nothing to do with it, why would Boone want this job? Why would anybody want to be a manager and not allowed to do anything? Has everybody ever thought of that? Instead of, you know, the whole, like, well, no, he completely agrees with everything that's happening. You're telling me that Aaron Boone wanted to take him out of there? And if he's forced by management, why in God's name would anybody want that job, that they're not allowed to have any creativity, any wiggle room? This guy played the game. His father played the game. His brother played the game. Can't be allowed to go out there and be a manager. Or he is allowed the wiggle room, but has completely no feel for the situation and thinks it's a good idea to take out Herman after 93 pitches and struck out four batters in the bottom half of the seventh inning after giving up one lousy double to start the eighth with a four-run lead. Peter, I kind of get it if it's 1-0, 2-0, but with a four-run lead, he's not given the ability to try to kind of finish what he started, get out of his own jam. Didn't he earn that? If I'm Herman, listen, I don't know if he's got a kick coming after everything that's happened to him. He's probably lucky to be a Yankee, honestly. But put all that aside for the conversation. Like, I'd be red hot. Well, why can't I finish what I started here? Can I at least try to get out of my first jam of the game?
Well, I go as far as saying, Don, if you're up 4-0 and you have not, and you've been good all day, he could have given up a solo shot to start the inning and I wouldn't pull him.
Yeah.
If you've played great, giving up one big hit can happen. You have a four-run cushion.
You're allowed a margin for error. You're allowed to make a mistake. He gave up a double, big whoop.
Oh, and Frank, and fortunately, the Yankees' offense had given them four runs, so they can have a little bit of a cushion there.
Right, and they added two, maybe a three-run lead, a four-run lead. But and the other thing, too, the Yankee fans have got to stop, all right? Is the whole, well, if their offense was better, none of this would have happened. I get that their offense has been disappointing. They're tied for second to last in runs scored in the American League. It's a disgrace. I agree. It's a problem. But, Peter, I am not going to sit here and complain about the offense when you've got a 4-0 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning and your pitcher is throwing a no-hitter. And you lose the game 5-4. Sorry, number one on the priority list of things to rip is the lack of tack-on runs during the course of the game. You're going up against the first-place team in their building with a four-run lead in the eighth? So their offense has been a disgrace, and Giancarlo Stanton's a busher. I mean, at this point, he's a busher. Honestly, I know you can't call him that for his career because he's accomplished so much, but right now, Peter, you or I could do a better job. I could swing at a pitch that's a foot outside. Tell me he's not completely guessing. It's like a magic trick to
him.
No,
when he's bad,
oh
when
my
he's
God.
Bad, he really looks like someone who's completely lost.
And I give Boone credit Saturday because that whole turnaround, because they pinched it for him. So I give him credit for that. But listen, their offense has been an absolute disgrace this season. And if you want to say it's the number one reason why they're four games above 500, I can buy that overall. But in the prism of this weekend, in the prism of yesterday, you're up 4-0 with your pitcher dealing a no-hitter. Stop with the offense and the tack-on runs. Win the damn game. Win the game. How many losses are you going to have like this? So can we stop? Peter's right. Can we stop with the stupid division already? And if they get the wild card, it's going to be by the grace of God because Seattle took 3 out of 4 from Oakland. So I don't know how good Oakland is. But what does it matter anyway, Peter? Even if this team stuck into the wild card, why do you think this year would be any different than the previous 10 when they couldn't get anything done in the postseason? Because everything that happens in the playoffs with this team not being able to situationally hit and the meltdowns and all the things that have cost them a chance to advance in the playoffs are actually happening in the regular season. Do you think it's all of a sudden going to turn around when they get to the playoffs? When all you're doing are facing good teams? And all you're doing is facing good pitching and good offense? But, no. If you came here for any defense of Boone today, Cashman, hey, listen. I don't even know what to say about Brian at this point. Trading deadline's over. Or it's coming. It's the 30th. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know who's on the board for them to get. Frazier went to San Diego. So I guess we'll evaluate what Cashman does coming up after Friday. But that, to me, you deal with that at the end of the season. But the Boone stuff, how does he survive this, Peter? How does he survive?
I don't think he can. Unless they go on some dramatic run. And then, and by the way, even that, though, and you know, I'm not rooting for Boone to lose his job. I like Boone. But even if that were to happen, Don, it would all be misleading. If they go on like some magic run, short of winning the World Series, that is, they'd end up just playing the game again.
There's not going to be any magic run. They've teased you this year. Well, why would anybody think this is going to happen? And don't tell me, well, Judge and Urshela are coming back. Same thing happened when those guys were healthy. They are what they are. Bill Parcells had it right. You are what your record says you are. They're a borderline 500 team. Should they be? No. But we're almost 100 games into the season. How much more do you need to know? So, enough. We'll talk about them because they're a popular team and they never go away. But at some point, maybe today's that point, we'll let the Yankee fans have their due here. But, you know, the Mets take 2 out of 3 from Toronto. Alonso's hitting well. Team's in first place. I don't want to hear about how they have virtually the same record. Completely different feel. All right? So their records are similar. These teams aren't similar. One team's in first place. Another team's battling for fourth. Does it really matter that their records are similar? Does it matter? 1-800-919-3776. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer, beverage company. Please drink responsibly. So we'll hear your calls. We'll talk Mets. We'll talk football. We got lots to do on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London, the at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. My apologies, and I want to thank NY Yankee News for correcting me. Stanton was not pinched hit for on Saturday. He was pinch run for. He had the double to get things going. I had left the room, Peter. I come up, and I see somebody else at second. I'm like, oh, he finally took Stanton out of the game. And it was my bad, my mistake. So the one thing I was going to give Boone credit for, I got to take off the table because, you know, he didn't do it. Pinch ran for him. Kept him in, and he actually got a double. But I missed that, and I want to apologize for that. So he got pinch ran for, not pinch hit for. But he's still completely lost. But I want to hear from Boone yesterday in the postgame press conference. And he talked about this being another tough loss.
Really tough one, obviously. Domingo was terrific. Yeah, I mean, a tough one that we've got to get past. And obviously, heading into an off day and, you know, huge series coming up with Tampa. But, yeah, another extremely tough one.
How will this team bounce back after this series?
like they have all year. These guys have handled and dealt with adversity. You know, we've dealt with it in this series and bounced back, and I know we'll do it again.
And says he believed the team played well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, you feel good about it, how we're set up right there. And, you know, Domingo obviously pitches a tremendous game and puts us in a great position. And, you know, they were able to get to Johnny today and to be the difference, you know. So, you know, they put some really good swings on balls. So it's another well-played game by our guys. You know, they continue to grind and continue to play well, and we got to continue to do that.
All right, stop it. Just stop. Will you please? It's like a parody. It's like a Saturday Night Live bit. Might as well be Will Ferrell coaching the Yankees.
Wow.
Give me a break, Peter, please.
Which part?
What do you just think, that fans are morons? I'm being honest here, all right? Because fundamentally, Peter and I are fans, okay? Forget about being in the media and have to analyze things honestly. We grew up as fans, all right? And we watch post-game press conference because we want to see our manager bleed the blood that we bleed, okay? To feel the pain that we feel. We don't want to be treated like idiots. Like, because you're going to tell us that the sun is shining bright, that we're supposed to ignore the rain falling on our head. All right? These are people that invest money, time, effort to watch your team be average. And they sit there and watch the post-game press conference. And if you're sitting there watching a post-game press conference, dude, you're in. All right? You're a big fan. Maybe you should think about dating more. Maybe you should try to get a life going. But you know what? You've made your choice. You love your team, and you want to watch the post-game press conference, and you get treated like a maroon. Oh, we played well. Oh, they got some good swings. Stop it. Will you please? What they want to see is a manager just be honest. Aaron Boone's a good guy. There's nothing good about what happened yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with saying it. Heck, your owner a couple of weeks ago put the blame on the players. So stop protecting them, for God's sakes. It's going to be you that's going to be out of a job. You're the one that's going to get sent packing at the end of the year. Why don't you tell us how you really feel? Don't sit there and compliment a team that blows a 4-0 lead in the eighth inning, that drops 2 out of 3, and this garbage that you fed the fans about, how are you going to bounce back? We're going to bounce back the same way we did all year. Yeah, exactly. Not bouncing back. The air's out of the ball.
That's the part that hurt me, Don.
I mean, so don't lie. See, that's the thing. I know he's probably doing what the Yankees want him to do. No, no, no. He is a puppet, man. Seriously, he is a puppet. Let's call it the way that it is, all right? He's a nice guy. He's a baseball guy. But he is nothing but a damn puppet. And he wants this job so badly, he'll embarrass himself to keep it. And you know what, Aaron? You're not going to be able to keep it. So if you're going to lose your job, be yourself. Do what you think is right. And if you get fired, you can look in the mirror. You can say, I did everything that I could. But if you're just going to be a shill and a puppet and lose your job anyway, then you're a bigger joke than I thought. Don't talk to people that way. These people work their tails off to root for your team. They don't want to be lied to. And if that's the message from the Yankees, then that's a bad job out of them. Because maybe it will look bad that Joe Girardi was rubbing his bald head after a tough loss. But you know what? He was rubbing his bald head just like every other Yankee fan was after a tough loss.
Well, I just want to know, in what sport, in what other situation, have we ever seen a team where, like, they don't, the head coach or manager isn't allowed to be exasperated? I didn't know that was a thing. I'm not even kidding. I'm trying to think of the coaches that we revere throughout pro sports. Popovich, Steve Kerr, Belichick. Throughout all the major sports, Don, who's the big-time stud coach who's not allowed to sit at the podium and be angry?
Only in baseball, and only with certain teams.
It's ridiculous.
You got to just, but there's not, here's what we get told all the time, right? I work for the Rangers. I work for the Jets for 16 years. Peter works at WWE. Michael Look obviously works for the Yankees. And there are times where we have to be critical. And there are people, especially some of the writers in New York, who think that we're not allowed to be critical. No, we're allowed to be critical. We just have to be fair. All right? As long as we're fair, I can go off on the Rangers as long as I'm being fair. Michael can go off on the Yankees as long as he's being fair. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't think Vince McMahon is going to rip you, Peter, if you just honestly assess something that happened in a wrestling match. Maybe he would. I don't know how the old inner workings of WWE go. But I would think that somebody of your stature, if you had something negative to say, as long as you were honest and fair with your assessment, that you wouldn't lose your job.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way.
So as long as Aaron Boone is speaking the truth, how can the Yankees have a problem with it? And to go out there and be disgusted with your team and be disgusted with the performance of your players after they blow a 4-run lead in the eighth inning, after they drop 2 out of 3 in Boston, after blowing another lead earlier back on Thursday, you know, why do you have to continue to protect the players? And if that's the message from above, the Yankees should know better than that. This is New York, man. You should be allowed to be critical. And Hal Steinbrenner ripped the players and held the players accountable, but his own manager can't? That's the time where you're supposed to go on the air and talk about, we got some good swings in, we played quality game. Yeah, what does that matter? It's not the Olympics where you get awarded points for trying, or that you get points, you get judged at the end of the event. It's about wins and losses, outscoring the opponent. Nobody's going to care that you put in a good effort. Nobody's going to care you had quality at-bats. Nobody's going to care that you had a 4-run lead going into the eighth inning. What does that matter when they've got 5 at the end of the day? What does that matter that that's one more game back of the Red Sox you are with one less game to play against them? And you're sitting there and you're blowing candy up our butt?
Excuse me?
Are we supposed? Do you think we're that gullible and stupid that we're gonna take all that in and gobble it up? Like we're in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory where everything's edible? No, we're walking around in a dumpster. And there's nothing wrong with saying that when it is, and that's what a post game press conference is supposed to be for. And if Joe Girardi got fired for being honest, then the Yankees did him a favor. And I like Aaron Boone. Do I have a relationship with him the way Michael does, the way some people in the media do? No. But I know him. I like him. I think he's a good person. And I think he's a good baseball person. But this garbage that he's feeding the fans, he can't possibly believe it. And if he does, he's delusional. And my feeling is he's probably doing it, Peter, to keep his job. And whenever you do that, you end up losing the job anyway. So if I'm going to get fired, Peter, I'm getting fired on my terms. And I'm going to play the game that I want to play. There's no way. This is a guy that was one of the best analysts in baseball on Sunday Night Baseball. I don't remember watching a Sunday night game and him just waxing poetic about every strikeout, every error, every bobble in the outfield. He honestly assessed what he saw. Why can't you do that as a manager? You don't think we could take it? Believe me, we could take it. God, you treat us like a bunch of clown shoes. Like we're just supposed to believe everything that we're told. That should irritate you more than the fact that they're losing, Yankee fans. I'm not even a Yankee fan and it bothers me. You're being treated like you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're being treated like a 5-year-old. That's how you talk. That's how I talk to the Twins. I don't discourage them when they make a mistake. I encourage. I was out in the backyard all weekend with Marco playing wiffle ball. And when he hit a line drive, I'd praise him. And when he'd swing and a miss, I'd say, keep your eye on the ball. Nice try. You know why? Because he's 3.5! And he's got a whole life to live. And he's got to have encouragement. But you're talking about million-dollar ball players in their prime, expected to win, and yet we're supposed to talk to them like they're some 3.5-year-old. Why don't you give awards out? How about this, Yankees? You get a nice effort. Why don't you give a game ball, Aaron? Let's give a game ball. You made contact today. Let's give you a game ball. We lost 106-3, but you know what? You had a couple of good licks. We're going to give you a game ball. Giancarlo, you almost hit that ball that bounced twice to home plate, so we're going to give you a game ball. Oh, Loaisaca, you didn't get an out, but you know what? You really gave it a try, and you threw the ball hard, and you got some good whips in. You know, you got some good ups, so let's give you a game ball. How about that? Is that the way it's supposed to be, Peter, now? We'll give awards of encouragement. You know, we won't give the Yankees a championship trophy this year, Peter. They will get it. But let's book the Canyon of Heroes, and let's have a big parade at the end of the season. for the four games above 500 Yankees and say, nice effort, guys. You really gave us a go. So let's bring your streamers, get millions of people to go out to the Canyon of Heroes. You gave a nice effort. You tried. Good job.
They could present a big participation trophy.
Big, yeah. That'd be great. You know, instead of the pennants of the 30 teams, they could just have a big, you know, a big four for the amount of games they finished above 500. Or how about like a big, like whatever the payroll was, that could be the big, make that into gold. Hand that out to all the players.
It's very frustrating to watch, especially because, to your point, in the end, if it doesn't work out, you know, listen, unless it just turns out this is the man Aaron Boone is as a manager, like that's just what he believes in doing. He truly does not believe in ever being hard on players. Like philosophically, he's just against that. Well, then, Don, you may not have a kick coming. If that's really how he is at heart, he just does not think that's the right thing to ever do. However, if that's the case and that's how he is, and I don't really believe that to be true, but if it was, then I'd have to say he's just not cut out for this business, because that's not how successful coaches and managers are. You know, we hear about players, coaches, and the coaches who really are loved by the players. Don, I don't know if one of them has ever been successful if they still didn't have some level of edge. You know, we even heard about Arians and Brady not getting along at the beginning of the season, because Arians wasn't just going to be a pushover to Tom Brady. And that's Tom Brady. So I just don't know a situation in which you have success where you're not willing to hold players accountable publicly ever. Wasn't Arians critical of Brady in press conferences at the beginning of this year?
Yeah.
That's how their relationship started. He was like, yeah, we missed a few things there. Tom's going to get there, blah, blah, blah. And Brady clearly wasn't happy about it. And guess what? They went on and won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But you can't just sit there and go, oh, Tom Brady's here. You know what Tom does? We just sit back and we go with it, man. Whatever. Oh, yeah. I know he hit three picks today, 130 yards. But, you know, hey, that's Tom Brady. You can't operate that way. And guess what? You guys don't have Tom Brady.
Right.
Not you don't even
that
have
many
that.
People think that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of football. And what did Bruce Arians win before he went to Tampa? Before he got Tom Brady. Never mind going to Tampa.
Right.
And yet he still figured, I'm the coach and I'm allowed to be critical. Because he was fair. And guess what? Tom handled it. He didn't get the coach fired. 1-800-919-3776. Come back with your phone calls. Don and Peter on the K-Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don and Peter, 403 in the big city. It's the K. Show. We're K-less today. So for all the people who say, well, I'm not going to watch because Michael's not on.
See ya!
Good. Enjoy yourself. How about some football, Peter? You ready for this? Adam Schefter, you familiar with his work? I am. God, he's got over 8 million followers. That's a lot of people. Schefter tweeted 14 minutes ago, Packers are offering concessions and are close to an agreement that would bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay for at least this season. Sources tell ESPN, deal is not done, but it's close. Then he tweets, over the past weekend, the two sides were able to reach mutually agreed upon terms that are close to convincing Aaron Rodgers to abandon plans he had to skip training camp and instead return for it. Concessions do not include more money, per source. The new agreement, once finalized, would help set up Aaron Rodgers' departure from Green Bay after this season, per source. The 2023 year in Aaron Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags allowed in the future, per source. So what that means, Peter, is that Aaron Rodgers is going to have his farewell tour in Green Bay this year.
And that's it.
And that's it. And then he will you know, move on. And that, to me, makes perfect sense for both sides. And that's why I don't think there's any money, because I think they just sat him down and said, listen, we're not trading you. So are you going to retire, or can you suck it up and play one more year for a pretty good football team? See, I know Michael always brings up Aaron Rodgers orchestrating his way out of Green Bay on how the NFL is kind of following like the NBA route. But whoever orchestrates their way out of a team this good, this is not Aaron Rodgers trying to get out of Jacksonville.
Right.
This is Aaron Rodgers trying to get out of Green Bay. So he's got a stick up as you know what, because they drafted Love. And I heard Bart Scott earlier today, and he was making some very interesting points. He does the show with Alan Hahn normally, but today it was with Chris Carlin.
Which he also does normally.
From noon to two. And he said, well, you know, Rodgers saw Love get drafted and figured he was going to get released, so he wanted to leave on his own terms. Which might have been his initial thought, Peter, and Rodgers probably got crazy and had all this conviction that he wanted to get out of Dodge. But the Packers probably sat him down and said, listen, you're going to leave. You're out. Just one more year. Why would you sit there and do nothing? Just play one more year for a real good football team. And then you leave. No harm, no foul. Nobody's going to be upset. We're ready to move on with our new quarterback. Nobody was going to release him this year anyway, Peter. Maybe that was the plan going into last season, but he went out there and won the MVP. So so they weren't going to part ways with him. So I think Bart Scott's point became moot the way he played last year, but he gets to still finish up with a chance to win another ring, and then he gets to leave. So as much as he wants to get out of there, Peter, one more year makes sense.
Here's my question for you, though. Can, after everything that's happened, can he come back now and have a fully productive season in which it's not entire, the entire year is about his end in Green Bay?
There you go.
Like, can they really go for a championship this year and not be talking about, will the Packers find a way to work things out, or is this in fact the end, or the farewell tour continues, and he's getting along with it. Is there a way that you can put this behind you and lead this team for real? Because remember, he's put this team in peril in other ways too, Don. I mean, now they can't sign Devontae Adams either.
Right.
So that extension's not happening. So now if you're a Packers fan, you're watching and you go, this is great, but we better win right now because Rodgers and Adams are gone after this. And I wonder whether they can put that aside. And if you're a fan, you can still really enjoy this season and this quote-unquote farewell tour, Don, or if you're just kind of like, kind of a bad taste in your mouth of like,
yeah,
what happened here?
I mean, I have to ask a Packer fan how you
feel. I know one we can get on the show. He does a great job.
No, we're good. Okay. If he wants to text you his response, I don't need both sides of the coin in a half hour to do it. But it's interesting. Well, who else is an MVP caliber player going to try to win a Super Bowl, knowing that at the end of the season, no matter what happens, he's gone? Like, have you ever thought of anything like that? Not retiring, because you had, you know, Michael Strahan with the Giants that he decided to retire after winning a championship. This is a guy that's going to move on, and you know he's gone. It makes for an interesting season, but if I'm a Packer fan, I embrace it because the alternative would have to have your young quarterback break in with a pretty good football team and maybe not be very good, as opposed to getting one more shot to win a title with one of the best quarterbacks in football. And maybe it's the dream season where he wins the championship and then he leaves. It'll be odd, it'll be awkward, but isn't it better than the alternative? Eventually Love's going to get a chance to play. But it won't be this year, it'll be next year, and it will be watching Rodgers completely motivated to win. Like, Rodgers is going to want to go out there and win, right? He's not going to mail it in. Because that's going to make him look bad. How many more kicks at the can does he have? So he'll leave, probably go to San Francisco. But are the 49ers in 2022 going to be as good as the Packers are this year?
Right.
Will he have as much of a chance to win a championship? So I think he'd be motivated to go out there and play. Even if he's being selfish, Peter, it still works for him to go out there and be the best player that he can be, and the Packers get another shot. So it's better than the alternative of him retiring.
My team's a team. They love each other. They're Packers. That's kind of dead. That's dead. This is a guy who's finishing it out. He was convinced. They put a gun to his head and said, here's the deal. You're stuck here. So what do you want to do? We're okay with letting you sit. And he went, all right, will you make these concessions? And they said, all right, we'll make these concessions. And he went, okay, I'll play. That's what's happening here.
No,
I'm just saying it's not fun, no, but you're right. If they win a championship, who cares? It's all's well that ends well.
It's not fun, but it's still – like I don't know what love is going to be. You know, maybe he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, and every year he doesn't play is one less chance at him to win a championship. It's just – I don't know how Rodgers looks good in this whole thing.
I mean, he doesn't.
If his whole deal is, I can't believe you drafted a quarterback. Really? You went out and drafted a quarterback? Well, they liked the quarterback. But it wasn't just about the quarterback. It was what they didn't do with the pick. And that's get him another weapon, get him another wide receiver. But he had no alternative. They weren't going to trade him. So was he going to sit out and go host Jeopardy? Or give it one more shot? Now, is it possible, Peter, that this can end up being a Disney movie? And everything goes great, and they win the title, and he decides, all right, you know what? I'm going to stay.
Well, by the way, there'd be another option, too, at that point. If they were to go win a title, he could also retire. It was great. I ended as a Packer. I'm done.
But it's just so odd, because usually when you're orchestrating your way out, the team's not very good. But this is still a good team. Now, I understand that their record is a lot, I think, kind of bloated the last couple of years, where they weren't as good as their record indicated. Maybe they weren't 13-3, really. But you're a playoff team. You know, you're not going to the playoffs if you're hosting Jeopardy. And I'm selfish, because I'm not a Packer fan. I don't care. But I want to see one of the best quarterbacks play. Does anybody win, Peter, of having Aaron Rodgers not playing football this year?
No, it's a loss for everyone.
I just want to see the guy play. I'm not even a particular fan of him, but I love watching him play. And I've talked to you about this before, Peter, with the pick segment and how we live and die with the pick segment every year. If I pick the Packers and Aaron Rodgers got the ball and I need a touchdown, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to get those points.
I feel better
compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL, right? So if I'm getting the Packers, you know, minus six, and the game is tied late, and I need a touchdown, and he's got the ball at his own 20 with a minute 20 seconds to go, I'm gonna have a lot of fun watching this. Because if he doesn't do it, he's gonna come darn close.
For everyone in football, it's a win. He's one of the most fun players to watch in the sport. Now, do I think there's a little bit of yo-yo to this whole thing that we just did this for a whole offseason and this is where we landed? I mean, to your point, it doesn't make him look great. It looks like he's kind of an absolute egomaniac. So here's where we stand, by the way. This is the latest update we have on all things Aaron Rodgers, okay, if you're just tuning in. Deal's not done. Rodgers is still in California where he just completed his – like a 6-week training regiment that he did. Basically, it looks like this. They supposedly both sides want to settle this, the Packers and Rodgers. The agreement in principle would include an approximation of the following conditions that the two sides now are finalizing to alleviate and address some of Rodgers' issues.
Okay.
The 2023 year in his contract would be gone.
Yes.
So this would be the end. The Packers would agree to review the situation at the end of the year. His contract would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room right now, and mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Don, what does that mean? Mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team.
Well, the only thing I can think of, because we're past the draft, right? So it's not like we are going to draft offensive players, or we are only going to sign offensive free agents. I guess the mechanism must be, hey, Aaron, what do you want to do here? Like, is that it? Well, what
is
else
it as
could
simple
it
as, hey, while you're here this year, any major personnel decisions are also running through you?
Yeah, we're going to run them by you. That's the mechanism, I guess. Now, I don't know if you can make him the de facto general manager, but it's just like, we will not do anything without running it by you first. What else could it be?
Yeah, I don't know what mechanisms you can put in place.
The Packers' agreement to review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making. Now, that implies that he won't have a say. Because if you're letting him, if you're running all the decisions through him, then at the end of the season, how can he have a complaint on the direction the team went? As long as the above conditions are met and the two sides were trying to finalize them before camp opened Tuesday, Rodgers would return for his 17th NFL season, a feat no Packer quarterback, including Bart Starr and Brett Favre, were able to accomplish. I don't think there's any scenario that Disney movie happens. I think he's gone. But that doesn't mean it can't be, you know, a story with a happy ending. All right, since we brought that up, Deshaun Watson.
All right.
Sounds like the Texans now may be willing to deal him. Who's making that trade?
Well, and they're doing it, and supposedly what they're putting out there is that they want a lot.
Yeah, so who is going to give up a lot? Now, I'm not saying that if they were giving him away, like let's say the Texans say, I just want to be done. Well, you know, give me a seventh-round pick and be done. It would probably be worth it, even with all the allegations and everything, because it's a seventh-round pick. Even though every pick is sacrosanct, it's a seventh-round pick. It's probably worth the gamble. But if they're asking for the moon and the stars, Peter, who's going to do that? We have no idea what his availability is going to be for this season. He could be suspended by the NFL. With no conviction, he could be suspended by the NFL. I mean, there's 22 women that have come forward, Peter. It's going to be a tough thing to get out from under. And also, I'm going to give this as an example. I'm not sure of the pronunciation. Logan Melieu was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens with the 31st overall pick in the first round of the NHL draft, Peter. He was charged in Sweden for taking a picture of a girl or a woman, mm-hmm, performing a sex act, and then sending it out over the internet. Mm-hmm. And he was, again, charged in Sweden. He told the NHL and their teams, I'm taking myself out of the draft. Do not draft me. I'm going to take this year to prove to everybody that that was just a mistake. I'm going to improve my image. Don't draft me. The Montreal Canadiens still drafted him. And Peter, they're getting destroyed, annihilated. How do you do that? Because we live in an era right now, or an era right now, where, you know, oh, we're just trying to win, doesn't fly with a lot of people anymore. So Deshaun Watson's going to get his day in court, and he may be proven completely innocent, but right now he's toxic. So am I giving up everything in the world to bring him there? I'm going to get eviscerated. I mean, can you right now in this day and age sit there and go, hey, it's my job to help my team win. And he's a great quarterback, and we're just thinking about him playing and being a great quarterback. Can you do that? I mean, the Canadians thought they could do it. Hey, listen, I saw a player that was available that would have been taken higher, but he took himself out of the draft. We're drafting him anyway. And we're winning a bunch of cups. Nobody's going to care. Well, they've just found out one of the proudest organizations in the NHL for the last 48 hours, Peter, have been like, they almost burned the Bell Center to the ground. I've never seen something more poorly received in my life. So will an NFL team do that and say, I don't care. He's going to play. He's eventually going to play. He's a great talent. I'm going to do it. I'm asking. I don't know. I know what they should do, but is there a team that is going to pay the Texans price tag because he's that good? And just live with, Peter, live with everything being true, but just hoping at the end of the day, as long as he's eligible to play for me.
Well, I cannot see how the price tag is as high as the Texans are making it out to be. Though, listen, they're going to do what they're going to do, right? I could be selling you a broken down camera that doesn't even work, but I'm going to start off by telling you, hey, $500, this was a classic camera. You want this.
Right.
So I get it, right? They know he's broken down in terms of his value, and they're going to go for the most they can get. When push comes to shove, you know, I don't want us to be forced here, Don, to get into a situation where we're analyzing the moral value attached to what his actions were, especially because we don't even know what he's done.
Right.
And you know how I felt very much. To me, it seemed very clear that this guy has a problem and that what he should have done right away was admitted that he's done a lot of things wrong and he's in therapy. Because he was not being accused of an act that I think was so hurtful to people that a market and a fan base couldn't forgive him and allow him to be on their team. But he's not even acknowledging that he's done anything, and there's scores of women saying that he has.
Right.
So they're really far away from whatever the process would even be of him making good with a potential fan base. So I don't know, like, Dom, would you be willing to have your team take a crack at him at all under the hopes that it turns out it's not true, they have good intel that, you know, he did a couple of things, he's going to apologize for it, he's in therapy, he did not commit a violent act against a woman, and he's seeing it the right way, but whatever it may be. Is there an amount that you'd be willing to have your team take a shot at him?
Yeah, I believe so. I guess that it really would depend on if you find out that, yeah, things happen, but he's showed contrition. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't want to make it so fundamental as, well, what did I have to give up in the deal? Because really, you made a great point, Peter. It really, you know, it doesn't matter what you ask for. It's what you think you can get. But if you get multiple teams bidding, all of a sudden you might see your price tag reached. If there's only one team interested, then it doesn't go anywhere. But if there's two or three teams interested, they can all of a sudden just end up getting what they want. But there's just so much unknown. I don't know, how much investigation can you do? Well, like you said, it's 22 women. So you go under the assumption, all right, we believe that this did happen, but he deserves a second chance. You know, we believe that we'll get him help. But is that really caring about the player, or is that caring about the victims, or it's just, hey, we'll do whatever due diligence we have, but hopefully by 2023, when the suspensions are over, whenever, you know, whatever jail time he has to serve or whatever deal has to be done, we're still going to benefit at the end because we're going to have an MVP caliber player playing quarterback for us.
I don't think anyone cares about the player or the victims here, though, Don.
Right.
This is the NFL we're talking about. They're weighing out, can he end up being our quarterback? I'll put it this way. Washington would have been a perfect play for him at some point, and that's an impossibility, right? A place that's like really purposefully trying to build a new brand as being caring about inclusion and women, et cetera, he's out there. There's no chance they'd consider it. I wonder where the place is that would still consider that.
Because, you know, I kind of went through it yesterday. I mean, I'm watching Domingo Germán pitch. He's pitching a no-hitter through seven innings. And I'm thinking to myself, Michael's not in. I'm hosting the show with Peter. What's my angle going to be on this if he pitches the no-hitter? Because I was very, very upfront with everybody that I thought the Yankees shouldn't bring him back. I thought what he did was deplorable. Even though he served his time, I'm still sickened by what he did, and I didn't want him to be a Yankee. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how do I do this? Like, you have to celebrate the no-hitter because he's a Yankee and the Yankee fans see a win and all that. But at the same time, I'm like, I really don't want to celebrate it because I don't really like the person that he is. And kind of apply it to this is like that's what sports kind of puts us in, where you have opinions on people, but at the end of the day, does that mean you're going to stop watching the sport? Does that mean you're going to stop rooting for the team that ends up bringing somebody in that might have done something deplorable? You know, this is what we always have to go through. So if he's eligible to play, Peter, and one day if you're a general manager and you believe that he's going to be eligible, are you doing something wrong by doing what you think is best to help your team because you know the guys you're competing with are also going to be doing the same thing? Nobody's trying to win a popularity contest. Nobody's trying to get into heaven. They're trying to win a Super Bowl. But I don't have to really like it. It still feels weird to me. And again, we don't know what he did. But let's face it, as you just said, they don't care what he did. They want to know, okay, at the end of the day, when's he available to play? Is he going to be suspended 4 games, 8 games for the year? Is he going to do jail time? That's what they care about. When is he available? I'm not really sure I want this guy on my team. So you end up going with that crossroad. So do you want to be the holier-than-thou general manager to say, well, he'll never play for me, and then he goes plays for a team in your division, wins the Super Bowl, and you're the one that gets fired? You can't tell your owner, well, listen, don't fire me. I didn't want to bring him in here because I thought he was a bad guy. I'm sorry. You know, this isn't some special school here. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. It's weird.
I know, and like I said, and then you end up in a place where you're qualifying what horrible act is passable and which one's not, right? Like, you're weighing it. Well, Herman did this, and Deshaun Watson did this, and that. Ugh, it's such a gross place to be.
This is the, like, sports makes for strange bedfellows, and that's kind of what happens. 1-800-919-3776, some football on the table. It's Don and Peter on, yes, in 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back. Friday, August 20th. Bar A in Lake Como, New Jersey becomes Bar K. Make your plans to head down to the Jersey Shore near Belmar to join us for the Michael K. Show live from 2 to 6:30 with special musical guest the Pat Roddy Band and an appearance by Willie Wilson. It's all brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, Rutgers Football, Calandra's Bakery, and Yingling Flight. Be caller number 9 right now at 1-888-987-ESPN and win a pair of VIP passes. You must be at least 21 years of age or older to enter. Quick mention before we get back to the phone calls. A lot of Ranger fans are getting crazy with the Buchnevich deal, and they didn't get a lot for him. And I understand your frustration, but he was going to win his arbitration case. He was going to make $5.5 million at least. And the Rangers are thinking long-term to have cap space, not just for this year, but in years in the future. The problem is Chris Drury has a plan. The bigger problem is not everybody knows what the plan is. And it's tough sometimes to have faith in somebody that's never done it before. But he's got a plan. He's putting it together. So a lot of this is going to end up making sense. And then you can evaluate it when it's all over. But right now, there's a lot of frustrated Ranger fans who just don't know what the daylight's going to be on this. I would just say, be patient and see. They got to bring Zibanejad back. Eventually, Lafreniere and Kako are going to have to get paid. Shesterkin, they want to be able to keep all these young players. And that means getting cap space. And Buchnevich was a talented player, but a frustrating player. And he was going to win a lot of money in arbitration, and that was going to screw up their cap in the future. They wish you could have gotten more for him, but you're not dealing with a lot of leverage. Blaise, a good player. He's a third, fourth line guy, but you need those guys to win. And he was very good in the Stanley Cup final when the Blues won the championship a couple of years ago. So hang in there, Ranger fans.
Wow, Don, really aggressive use of the cough button. It's there.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
It arrived, and we haven't heard a cough today.
Yes, I'm doing the best I can.
Was it easy to hook up?
Yeah, you just need an extra mic cord, which I had. All right, how about that? And I was just asking the guys back at the station whether it sounds great, and they're like, great. So this was a godsend. You would never know I had a problem if I had the cough button from the very beginning.
Anthony, could you play the beginning of that last cough, like when he first – when that cough really first unfolded? No.
All right, how about that?
That's not it. Forget it. I like hearing when you don't mean to do it, Don, when you're just naturally falling apart on our air.
Can you believe he talks to me like
that? No, I'm going to talk to you like that because you deserve to be talked to like that. Go on the air and Don's a gum, baby.
Oh, no.
All right, how about that? I coughed right to the microphone. I hope it irritated you to the point you don't come back.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Anthony. But, Don, it's doing great. It's doing good things over there.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get through.
And God willing, the cough will be completely gone soon, and we'll move on from this cough button. We won't talk about how long it took them to send you the cough button. That's neither here nor there.
Hey, no, well, listen, once I had a conversation with Rodney, it's all good. The second he was alerted to it.
Hadn't been alerted.
It was Saturday morning. It was in Andrew's hands at the end of the show Friday. It was in my hands, installed and tested by 11:30 Saturday morning.
Well, that's incredible.
It was just a matter of getting Rodney the information. Because as Rodney instructed me, he's got a lot of other things to worry about aside from the Michael K. Show.
I guess so.
Let's go to Ronnie in Toms River. We're popular in Toms River today. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Everything.
So I got a bone to pick with Michael K. I know he's not there right now. And I think he's taking the the low road right now. On Yes Network, on either Saturday or Sunday, I have to jump him because he said on the broadcast when the Yankees were choking away those games that the Red Sox fan was on a lower intelligence. They really didn't know what was going on before the play happened, and the Yankee fan in the stadium knows the game before or the play is going to happen. They anticipate things better. I think he's panned into his Yankee fan self and all his Yankee fans out there.
I need to hear how Michael said it. Listen, I love you, but I didn't hear that. So I'm not going to sit here and dissect something Michael said just going off of what Ronnie and Tom's River had to say. So if anybody can supply me with the audio, if anybody wants to back up that that's what was said, that what doesn't sound like something Michael would say. I don't know what context it was said, Peter. I've been to Fenway Park. I know a lot of Red Sox fans who are very intelligent about baseball. I've got to hear that before I dissect it. That could just be a scam.
Yeah. Need more information.
I've been told, Peter, that we will have that audio in a few minutes.
Okay.
Because we've got the best people working for us possible. So Andrew and Anthony working hard, and we should have that in a few minutes.
Well, hey
so
there.
So while we wait... Let's go to Pat on Long Island. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, Pat?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Don. Hey, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time.
Cool.
This news about a good majority of the Dodger players not wanting Trevor Bauer back, I think is really the exception. I mean, if you look back at, you know, Domingo Germán even, and Ray Rice, Deshaun Watson, I think teammates for the most part have been relatively quiet with few exceptions. And I'm wondering, I guess my question is, how much influence do you think going forward players will have on determining who they, more importantly, don't want on their teams? I think teammates, you know, should be more outspoken, but unfortunately that hasn't been the case, you know, again, with few exceptions. But would love to get your input on that. Thank
you. Because normally you're always told to kind of mind your own business, back up the player, don't get involved in their negotiations and things like that. This is different. And I wonder, Peter, how much of this is the fact that Trevor Bauer has been there for 5 minutes? Like, what if this was a player that had been your teammate for the last 10 years? So is that aggressive for the Dodgers because he had just gotten there? Or is it just, hey, they're a tight-knit group, and they don't like what he did? And so they don't want him on the team anymore. I don't know.
Or does it go against type,
doesn't it?
Or do they sincerely not think he's a good dude?
That's part of it, too.
Didn't rub them the right way.
Hey, you know how that's how life works, right?
Of course.
The people that are given the benefit of the doubt are the people that are likable and that you get along with, and the people that you don't, you're not going to give the benefit of the doubt. And like I said, he hasn't been there that long. He's an aggressive personality. So maybe it's just a case of, hey, we don't think you're a really nice guy.
Yeah, we actually could see this being true because right. You never seem great to us, so who knows?
Let's go to David and Elizabeth. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, David?
What's going on, Don? What's going on, Peter?
What's up? Yo.
All right, two quick things. Don, the list from last week was amazing. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, different.
Well,
also,
the hosts?
Peter, the next drop.
Thank you.
Yep, with the host. It was amazing. I loved it.
Thank you.
Also, Peter, I can't wait for the next Drive Madness. It's going to be a classic. And the real point I called was I think Deshaun Watson, he deserves another chance. Everybody isn't perfect. But I do understand, you know, when you do the wrong thing, you should, you know, pay the price for it.
But don't you want to hear some acknowledgement from him that he's done something?
Oh, most definitely. He should definitely, you know, come clean and say that, you know, he has an issue.
Because so far, I just don't get how their plan is, like, just deny, deny, deny. Seems pretty impossible.
See, that's the thing, David, is that I understand the sentiment, but here's the problem. I don't think there should always be a blanket, everybody deserves a second chance. I think you've got to treat each one individually. And Peter makes a great point. This is a guy that is denied the entire time. So if all of a sudden he comes out and then says, you know what, I did do all this, well, then I don't know if he can necessarily be trusted. And everybody may deserve a second chance at some point down the road, but I don't like that blanket statement. I think everything has to be judged individually. Some people definitely deserve a second chance, and some people, they don't. And I think sometimes we use that second chance as just, oh, well, then that gives us the right to be able to give anybody a second chance.
No,
regardless of what they did, regardless of how they feel about it, regardless of how much contrition they had. Judge it individually. Let's see. When it's all said and done, Peter, then I'll know whether I want to give him a second chance or not.
I mean, can you at least start with showing me that you want a second chance?
Right. Right now, it's a he said, she said situation. But if we find out that he did these things, then, you know, we'll see down the road whether he deserves that second chance or not. Ira, Staten Island, you're on ESPN New York. How are you, I?
Hey, what's happening, Don? Peter, what's going on?
Hey.
And, good. Everything's good, man. You know, the Watson thing, you know, what could you say? It's unfortunate that it happened. You know, hopefully this thing gets put to rest and whatever. It is what it is. But, you know, I look at Michael Vick. You know, he got a second chance and he got his act together. So hopefully the same thing with Watson. But with Rodgers, I tell you, man, I was wrong. You know, I was kind of leaning the way Anita Marks was. I thought he may end up possibly in Denver or somewhere else. I was stunned when I turned on the radio. I heard you guys talking that he's coming back to Green Bay. I was very surprised. But, you know what it just shows me now? And listen, I get it, but it looks like the NFL, the players are starting to run the league. And, you know, I think long-term it's going to ruin the sport. It's not – I know, Peter, you're younger than us, but, Don, the way we knew football is not going to be the same. I mean, it's exciting. You can't wait to Sunday, you know, to watch the games. But the league is going to be run differently, and it's unfortunate because the players are going to be calling the shots now.
See.
But I don't understand. But real quick, I mean, I think it's interesting that we're saying that today of all days, when a team truly asserted dominance over the best quarterback in football.
Right.
Like, this is actually the wrong day to say that, Ira, because the Packers won.
You know, it's interesting, Ira, because you were saying you thought he was going to end up in Denver, San Francisco. No, because the Packers said, we're not trading you. So you have two choices. You can work something out where you come back and play for us, or you retire. So, yeah, Peter's right. This is not like an NBA situation where a guy orchestrates his way out. He tried. He eventually will get his way, but it's going to be completely on the Packers' terms.
No, I get it, but he will end up, you know, playing somewhere else, which is what ultimately he wants, and that's what that's what disturbs me about it. It just the NFL was never like that.
But he was going
to see
that was going to happen anyway, Ira. I mean,
yeah,
likely to happen no matter what. And let's be honest, this is the year that really matters. I mean, who knows? We don't even know what he's at this age and stage of his career. You don't know what he'll be after next year.
And Peter and Ira, thank you for the phone call. They orchestrated it to where now it's going to be more cap friendly that he leaves than he would be before. So no, this is the situation where the NFL still has their thumb over the players. And here was one of the best quarterbacks in football, but at the end of the day had zero leverage other than walking away and retiring. He didn't do it. and they're keeping him for the year, and then in 2022, he's gone, and the quarterback that they've always wanted becomes their quarterback. Packers won. So do I think that the day is coming? Yeah, possibly, but Rodgers is not the example of that. We have found the audio. Was Michael right, or was he wrong? Okay. Did he go after the Red Sox fan, or was the caller in Tom's River wrong? We'll break it down.
Oh.
An assessment. Next on Yes in 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
No, it's 5:05 in the big city in the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don and Peter were K-less today. Michael will be back tomorrow. So we'll get plenty of reaction from Michael coming up on Tuesday. And we've got the big fella joining us at 5:50. Andrew Gulling with ENN at 6. But we had a caller from Tom's River saying that Michael called out the Red Sox fans for not being as intelligent baseball fans as Yankee fans. Well, Andrew, who's worth his weight in gold, was able to find the audio. So, Peter, rather than reacting to what a caller had to say.
No, let's listen to it. Let's break it down.
Let's listen.
Now, the Red Sox crowd, very quiet, and players that have played for the Red Sox, I spoke with them. They said the difference between a Red Sox crowd and a Yankee crowd is a Yankee crowd at Yankee Stadium will get loud to try to spur the team on to do something. And the Red Sox crowd reacts to something good. And they're being shut out right now, so it's kind of a quiet situation at Fenway Park.
Like a movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, when things get fast and furious, then they cheer. And that's long been the scouting report on the Red Sox crowd. Not a knock on them. That's they react rather than being proactive.
See, first of all, completely wrong.
What the caller said, Michael called them unintelligent.
Yeah, or just he was that. What was it? What did he say, Andrew? Just that the Yankee fans know more, understand the game more, something to that effect.
It wasn't even close.
Not even close to that. And also, Michael was getting his information from Red Sox players. Wasn't even his observation. He said, "This is what Red Sox players have said," and it's true.
I've noticed it too, though.
Yeah.
The Yankees have a crowd that they could be down 8-1, and the crowd that, you know, sticks around in the fifth inning, it's going to be basically full, and they're going to be cheering to get the place going. And Red Sox fans, when the team stinks, don't say anything, and then you get a couple of hits, and they start going. It's just a style.
Right.
It wasn't a knock.
And I think that style comes from Peter, although it should change because the Red Sox have won more championships recently than the Yankees have, is they probably don't want to jinx it. Like, Yankee fans and Met fans too, in a lot of ballparks, two strikes, you start to stand up and you cheer, anticipating the final strike. Now, maybe Red Sox fans don't want to do that because they think they'll jinx the final strike because it's an organization, it's a fan base that was built on a lot of failure and a lot of disappointment, where the Yankee fan base is built on a lot of success and expectations being met. It's funny now, Peter. When they return home down 8-1, I think the fans are just going to leave. I don't know how much encouraging the Yankee fans are going to do with this team right now. But that caller was completely off base. It was an observation based on information Michael was given by people in the know and wasn't even close to what he suggested.
You're wrong. I know more than you.
So that caller should be embarrassed. I'd like that caller to call back and apologize to Michael.
Wow. Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, lesser hosts might have jumped what he said as fact and then ripped Michael for it, but we didn't buy in. A lesser show would have never gotten the audio and just left the possibility of Michael insulting Red Sox fans out there to float.
And some would argue maybe we should have done that because it would have been more fun. But that's not the kind of guys we are.
Okay? No.
Michael would do it to us.
But that doesn't matter. I do what's right.
Yeah, it's sometimes too much, Don.
I'm not going to have Michael in the 5 o'clock hour get ripped for something he didn't do when there's plenty to rip him for that he did do.
That's a great point.
But listen, you're getting out of work. Maybe you didn't get a chance to hear the open. We obviously opened with the Yankees and the situation there. I mean, what can you say? 4-0 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Herman's got a no-hitter going, and they're not touching him. He struck out 4 Red Sox in the bottom half of the seventh because there was a wild pitch that allowed a runner to get on base. And we're talking about big ones, Bogarts, Devers, Martinez. Struck out Martinez to close out the inning. When it was 3-0 and that wild pitch set up to where Martinez hits a home run, it's all of a sudden a one-run game. Struck them all out. Then he comes up at the bottom of the eighth inning, gives up a leadoff double, gone, 93 pitches. Now, I don't think we played this audio, Anthony, and punch it up for me and let me know if you do have it, where after the game, Boone talked about if he thought about leaving Herman in after giving up the double.
No, I didn't want to go much past 80 today as it was. And then, I already knew we were kind of in that, danger zone a little bit. And so just kind of going hitter to hitter at that point, Verdugo put a good swing on him and, we're set up at the back end and, just couldn't get it done today. But Domingo was dominant. But no, it was hitter to hitter at that point.
I don't get it. With a 4-0 lead, guy's pitching a gem, no hitter, he gives up a double. And he's done. Doesn't even get a chance to kind of work his way out of it. You got a run in the top half of the inning to give you a little bit of insurance. You bring in Loaisiga, 4 straight hits. Britton gets a couple of outs, but the runs score all charged to Loaisiga. 3-0, 4-0 becomes 5-4, lose the game. It's just the frustration level has got to just be crazy for Yankee fans right now. The way you lost on Thursday. You have that amazing win on Saturday where the exact same thing happened to the Red Sox that happened to the Yankees yesterday, Peter. Cruising, 3-0, all of a sudden the eighth inning. Yankees put together a rally, take a 4-3 lead. Chapman gets the save, although he made it interesting, but he still got the save. And the Yankees have this incredible win, followed up by 7 no-hit innings on Sunday, and end up losing the game. And now you're right back to where you started. Everything Peter had said when this 10-game span started. What does it matter? We're going to be in the exact same place. 10 games are gone. And do not sit there and tell me, well, things would have been different if Urshela was here and Judge was here. Thursday, you had a 3-1 lead, and you blow it. Sunday, you got a 4-0 lead, and you blow it. Yeah, more runs would have helped. Yeah, the Yankees have struggled offensively. Like, were they tied for 14th in runs scored in the American League? But, Peter, this is supposed to be an amazing bullpen. It's supposed to be the strength of the team. You got a 4-0 lead in the eighth inning. I don't want to hear about you didn't tack on enough runs. Get the job done. 7-2 against the Astros the last game before the All-Star break. 3-1 on Thursday. The game last night. You've got to figure out ways to win games. Because you're way behind in this division, you can't blow games late. You can't blow ninth inning leads. You can't blow eighth inning leads against the team you're chasing after. And now the Red Sox are in better position than they were when the 10 games started. And oh, by the way, you get a day off today, and then what do you got to take on? Another team that gives you trouble, the Rays. So, Peter, at what point do we just stop being surprised by this?
Well, for me, it was about a month ago.
Yeah, right, but obviously
I know what they
fans are still pissed off.
But they've the thing is, they've also gotten worse talent-wise too. That's the part that's crazy. So we're going to keep the same standards for this team. They haven't been great all year, and on top of that, they're depleted, and the standards are never going to change. I think people's expectations now at this point have to change,
right.
And that includes Michael, by the way. Who, yes, he didn't give them a good shot to win the division, but he still gave them a shot.
I'll bring this up to Mike. We should bring this up to Michael tomorrow.
They're 4 games over 500. The Red Sox are 22.
And
they're different level teams.
And this has been happening for a while now. So, listen, Michael can speak for himself tomorrow. All 3 of us are going to be back tomorrow. But I don't want to hear, Peter, well, I think this team's better than the Red Sox on paper. Who cares? What does better on paper mean? What is better to you or I or Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone? You play the games for a reason. You've almost played 100 of them. And this is how much better the Red Sox are than you. So forget about what's supposed to be. See, that's what's happening with this Yankee team. It's all about what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to win a championship. You're supposed to be a dynasty. You're supposed to win a bunch of championships. You know who you are? 4 games above .500. You're a team battling for fourth place. That's what you are. And now the Mets have a similar record to the Yankees, but guess what? They're in first place. And none of the teams that are chasing after them are very good. Mets have a chance to bury the Atlanta Braves. They're playing the Braves 5 straight games, including a doubleheader that's just getting underway. And they've got a chance to send the Braves packing. The Nationals have lost 4 in a row. Philadelphia is very average. So forget about records, Peter. It's about what you see. And I see a team, you know, blow leads, but yet find a way to come back. And Alonso's tearing the cover off the ball. And it's a team that has really survived a bunch of injuries and have been able to stay afloat. So, yeah, the Mets have 1 more win than the Yankees, but it might as well be 100 more wins. And the Mets don't have to apologize for the league or the division that they're in. Take advantage of their situation, and they're an arrow. They're ascending to being a better team in the second half. They get Rich Hill. He pitches 5 quality innings. You know, messed up in the 6th inning, loading the bases, and then Lugo allows the runs to score, but the Mets come right back the next inning and score 4. Completely different feel between these two teams. And the second half of the summer should reflect that. Start talking about a team that's finding ways to win games and taking advantage of their situation instead of a team that is literally running in place. 1-800-919-3776. Oh, Ron's back from Tom's River.
Here he is.
What do you have to say for yourself, Ron?
Hey guys,
you called
I'm
out
back.
Our boy and you were wrong.
Well, actually, I'm not wrong. If you hear his tone and everything, he thought Michael Kay thought that he was going to get a split of that game, and he was kind of punching down to the Red Sox a little bit, talking about the fans and everything like that, feeling good about himself. He was like throwing a little jab in there, feeling himself.
I love jumping Michael Kay. I will rip him every chance I get. I did not get that sense at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm sorry.
It was a guy just giving an observation.
Now
it wasn't even his observation, Ron.
No, I didn't hear it, man.
Don.
That wasn't in what he said.
Guys, I mean, come on.
But what he said wasn't an insulting thing. It just wasn't an insult. I thought it was going to be way worse.
I take it for what it is. I don't know.
He said he wasn't knocking them. It's just a fact. They react.
How can that be a fact? Did you hear the bottom of the 8th? They were cheering after they were scoring. So they weren't like, of course they're getting no hit. They're not going to say anything. That was an easy thing to say.
No, but he was saying that, and it's true. I've been in that building. You know, they're not the kind of like stand up and rally, you know, to get the team going. They were reacting to the fact that nothing was happening. And then they're the best fans when the team starts to win. But he was saying that Yankee fans are kind of known for maybe anticipating something happening, trying to rally the team, trying to cheer them on. It's just an observation that he was regurgitating from Red Sox players. It wasn't even his own observation.
I'm no Yankee fan,
and I love ripping Michael. But, Ron, first of all, you come on to say you're going to apologize, and you just double down. So, goodbye. How many times you get to call the show?
Just take the L.
Just take the L, buddy. I'll jump Michael Kay every day.
Now, if you want to go a step further, I'll call it and say the Yankee fan is smarter than the Red Sox fan. Sure, I'm willing to do that. I do believe it's a smarter baseball fan.
Well,
I don't know that. Not what Michael was saying.
I don't believe that to be the case.
I believe that baseball fans, basketball fans, and hockey fans in New York. Hockey fans in New York are not the smartest. I'm not going to put them above fans in Montreal or even Pittsburgh. But this is a very smart fan base in baseball and basketball. And hockey's solid, too. But what I mean by that, Don, is really having an understanding of what they're cheering for.
I think Red Sox fans are pretty intelligent. I think because Boston's a baseball town.
They just learned how to watch good baseball 15 years ago.
But that doesn't mean they don't know it.
No, you're right. Sure, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Well, listen, that's your fish to fry if you want. Go ahead. Have at it. I'm sure Twitter's going to be keeping you very busy between now and the end of the show.
If they know how to tweet. They'd have to remember their login password.
I am not going to go there, but I want to send this out because Michael asked me to do it. He's not on the show today, but Mike Joyce had sent this to Michael, not realizing Michael was on vacation, and he sent a tweet, any chance you can give the 12-under girls softball team a mention on the show? They are from South Orangetown, New York, representing New York in the Eastern Regional in Bristol, Connecticut. So, yes, shout out. South Orangetown, New York. Go South Orangetown. I'm not familiar with exactly where that is. New York's a pretty big state. But anytime I hear Orange, I think Orange County, so maybe it's around there. Somebody can correct me, but how about a little shout out? Michael, the bad guy, doing the right thing.
Boom.
Oh, but here's somebody saying Michael's a bad guy. Brendan in Cranberry. You're on ESPN New York. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Oh, my God. That was very funny. All right. So, look, Michael's a good guy, but at times he could be a bad guy. And you all know. I watch the show every day, you know, for the abuse that you guys get. So I called on opening day when the Yankees, when everyone was in a panic because they lost the opening day. And I was talking about how it's a ritual and, you know, that's why they get so upset, because it's opening day and you really want to start off on a good foot. And then I switched to the fact that Clint Brazier, I'm like, you know, I feel bad for Clint Brazier. And then he cuts me off and goes into this, you know, don't blame Clint Brazier. It wasn't Clint Brazier's fault. And the point I was trying to make was the fact that Clint Brazier having his first opportunity to start in left field and replace and supplant Gardner. And how great would he felt? Like, here's my chance. It's opening day. That's all he wanted to say. And he cut me off in mid-sentence and made his own narrative that I was, like, you know, poo-pooing on Frazier. Then I called when he was sweating the other day in the booth, and I was like, he was like, well, how hot is it outside? It was like 96, 97, and I said he was sweating profusely, and Peter made fun of me. He said, I don't know. I didn't know you couldn't say sweating profusely. I guess they should have said sweating bullets.
No, what did you say? Real quick, what did you say?
I was just talking about how I was worried about.
No, but how did you word it? How did you word it exactly? You said he was, quote, what?
I said he was sweating profusely.
Well, yeah, because the reason I made fun of you is not because it's the wrong word choice. You're saying the wrong word. It's sweating profusely. I made fun of you for saying profusely.
Oh, well, thank you. Sorry.
See? Thank you. I was making fun of you, but not for that.
I don't know where to go. But what
I wanted to say was, how good would an Italian Ice or a Bomb Pop or a Mr. Softy feel right now? And he just, like, just shuts me down, you know? He lets other guys prattle on for hours on his calls.
Listen,
and
I've said this about him before. I've said this about him before. If an old person calls, and thank you for the call, man, but if an old person calls, someone over 75, Don, they can ramble on about anything, and Michael doesn't have the heart to say boo. If someone younger than 50 calls and says too many nice things to Michael before the question, he's willing to hang up on them.
I don't remember the call, so I can't really.
But you know what I'm saying is true.
No, that's true. He is very patient with the elderly.
Go away! Nice. And I also love the old, but I mean, come on, sometimes
I have a question for Peter coming up about ratings, because he's a genius.
A ratings question. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Any questions about lobster rolls from the weekend I can answer?
No. But we got a guy on hold who wants more details on the Saturday excursion.
Okay. I'll provide that.
Don and Peter on the K Show on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.